Marching onward, upward, to Zion. Joshua chapter 6. Anybody ever heard about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho? Anybody not heard about it? Okay. Joshua chapter 6, because that's where we're going to be this morning. Joshua chapter 6, it's a wonderful story of God leading his people and doing great things on their behalf. Joshua chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through to the end of the chapter. Maybe not quite through to the end, we'll see how we go. Joshua chapter 6, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valour. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass, and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Amen. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we do rejoice in it. We're thankful, Lord, that we are a part of the army of God, the family of God, marching on to that heavenly city. Lord, that place where the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And Father, we rejoice in our God today, and we bless you and we praise you, for you are great and greatly to be praised. And as we've read this account in your word, dear Father, we blessed again to acknowledge how great you are and how marvellously, Lord, you direct and take care of your people, and particularly on this occasion, Lord, that we've read of. And Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts now through your word and through the preaching, Lord. May we be encouraged and built up, and may your will be accomplished in our midst this morning. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Just two thoughts I want us to bring out this morning, bring through all this, is number one, that we need to live by faith, and number two, that we need to live one day at a time. Okay, and I just say that to preempt what I'm going to say down the track. That we need to live by faith, and that we need to live one day at a time. Not live in the future, or try and live in the future, and not live in the past. A lot of people live in the past, or their past troubles them, and their past causes them all sorts of problems, and therefore they don't live today as they ought to live. Or other people are trying to escape today because of their problems, and they're trying to live in the future, and that doesn't work either. We need to live in today. We need to live day by day. But I've read the story, and again, most of us are familiar with it, but I don't know about you, but it just blesses my heart to read about this account. To see God working there in the hearts and lives of his people, to see him giving them clear direction, to see him doing things for them, and to know that there is a living God who is interested in his people and wanting to guide and lead and to meet their needs. And the city of Jericho was the first battle that the children of Israel faced after they'd come across Jordan. Now, Jordan is a picture or a type in the scriptures of when they crossed over, they went from the wilderness, they went from, first of all, from Egypt, the children of Israel, into the wilderness. God led them for 40 years, and then it came to the day when they went across the Jordan River into what we call the Promised Land. That was the land that was flowing with milk and honey. That was the land that was rich. That was the land that God had said, I'm going to give to you, Abraham, and to your people, and to your seed, and it's going to be a blessed land. I'm going to be the center of that land. I'm going to dwell with my people, and I'm going to bless you in a very wonderful and rich way. And so they come into the land. And it's like the Christian life. We get saved, we come out of the world, and we face what we think is going to be a wonderful time of great blessing and God just taking care of everything, and life's not going to be a problem from now on, because now I'm saved, everything's okay. And yet we find we haven't gone too far across the Jordan, and we run into a Jericho, and we look at this Jericho and we wonder how in the world we're ever going to deal with it, because the walls are thick, and we know that the enemy are in behind, entrenched behind those walls, and we wonder how in the world we're ever going to get past this Jericho and get in and enjoy some of the blessings that God wants for us. So I like to say, the Christian life is not just, and I know I've said it and you all know it, the Christian life is not just a matter of just floating along on a cloud of ease all the way, drifting into heaven one day. When the children of Israel got out of the wilderness, their battle started in the Promised Land. They'd had a few struggles, and their main problem in the wilderness was themselves, arguing with God, murmuring and complaining, doing all that. And they come into the Promised Land, and now the real battles start. Okay? When we get saved, God kind of gives everybody a little honeymoon sort of treatment, I believe, when we get saved. In other words, life's pretty easy when you first get saved. And then God says, now we want to get over the Jordan. Now we want to get into the promised land, the place of blessing and knowing the fullness of God and the power of God and being a witness for God. We want to know all this, and I want you to know it. And we say, Lord, that sounds good to me. That's what I'd like. I want to live for God. I want to serve God. I want to do all that God wants me to do. And the first thing we come across is a Jericho. We say, Lord, I didn't ask for that. That's not what I expected. I expected just to be victorious and go on for you and win people to the Lord and have victory over sin in my life and just go on. And God says, that's good. That's good. But there are some Jerichos. There are some battles to be fought. And so God says to Joshua, by the way, I've given you Jericho. You know, the Bible tells us that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We were saying the other night here. You don't have to fight for victory. We are to fight from victory in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have all grace abounding toward us that we in all things might abound under every good work by the grace of God. We have all that. And God said to Joshua and to the people of Israel through Joshua, I've given you the city, Jericho. You don't have to worry about it. It's going to be taken. You're going to get victory. You're going to get through. It's like God says to us, when you get saved, he says you have eternal life. You will get through. You might wonder how you're going to get through sometime. You might wonder if you're ever going to get through. But let me tell you, you're going to get through. The Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And the Lord said, if it were not so, I would have told you so. And where I am, I'm going to come and take you unto myself so that you might be with me. So we know the end of the story. The end of the story is good. We are going to get to heaven one day. We are going to be there. The book of Hebrews says we have an anchor for the soul, which is cast upon the shores of heaven today. And you and I can be sure of that. And so we think, well, that's great. I've got all that straight. But now I've got this Jericho. And God says, that's right, Joshua, you've got a Jericho. And he says, I want to tell you how to deal with this Jericho, Joshua. Here's what I want you to do. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. That shalt thou do 6 days. Here's the plan. 6 days in a row, you walk once around the city with all the men of war and the priests and the Ark of the Covenant, all that, round you go. 6 days. And then he says, and goes on and says, and 7 priests, verse 4, shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets and so forth, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And he goes down and tells them all that. And then later on he says, okay, now on the 7th day then, verse 4, you go around 7 times. Okay. Now here's the plan, Joshua. Jericho's there, and it's such a fortress. It's such a stronghold. That you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. But I've already given it to you, so that's okay, right? You might look at that, Joshua, and wonder, how are we going to do it? And God says, here's the plan. You ever found in your Christian life that you want to do something for God, you want to serve God, or you just feel encouraged about the Christian life and you're kind of keen to get on for things for God and you're wondering what to do and you start to make some plans and you think this will be good and that'll be good, and then all of a sudden God breaks in on it and he puts a Jericho in front of you and he says, now here's the plan. So hang on. Lord, what I would like you to do, Lord, is just... Just get that Jericho out the road somehow. Just move it so we can keep going on. And God says, well, I want you to be a part of it. Well, that's good, Lord. So what are you going to give me? You're going to give me some tanks, or you're going to give me some bulldozers, or what are you going to bring in the bombers and wipe this city out, or how are we going to do it? And the God says, no, here it is. It's a real simple plan. Everybody here will understand it. You just walk once around the city. 6 days in a row, just do it once, just do one lap. That's okay. Now, you know, sometimes people look at the Christian life and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't. You know, God says whatever God says. And we say, well, it's like, you know, God says not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. Oh, yeah, but Well, you mean, Pastor, you're trying to say that you should be in church every, you know, when the doors are open? Yeah, that's what God says, not forsake the assembling yourselves together. Yeah, but I reckon I can get by without that. I mean, I can stay home and read my Bible. I mean, I can stay home and pray. I mean, that seems foolish that you mean, every Sunday you should be in church. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, there's a sense where that's true, of course. Depends what sort of Christian we're going to be, whether we're going to be some defeated, backslidden Christian, or whether we're going to be up there with Joshua and the other people who are going around doing what God says and seeing the walls come down later on. Or we're going to just keep going round and round in circles. And God says, okay, here it is, here's the plan. You go around every day, once a day, for 6 days, seventh day, go around seven times. Now, not only that, and here's where kind of a miracle happens, I think. In verse 10, I was thinking about this as I was reading through. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, now notice, he says, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither say shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Now that's got to be a miracle. That a group of people that size can take a walk that far and none of them make a noise. Surely that, you'd think that. I mean, how long do you think every one of us could sit here and not make a noise with our mouths? Not say a word. Sit here. God said, here's what I want you to do. Not a word, right? Nothing as you go around. That in itself is a bit of a task. Say, God, I thought you'd ask us something more simple than that. The walking is the simple part. Keeping quiet is the hard part. But God says, that's what I want you to do. And by the way, God says, I'll be with you. How do you know that? Well, verse 11 says, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city. The ark of the Lord was symbolic of the fact that God was with them. God also walked around the walls, as it were. They walked around, but God was walking around with them. Isn't that a blessing to know that wherever we're going in the Christian life, God is walking with us? You know, the Lord Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. Well, I don't know about you, Pastor, but sometimes I think God could be a million miles away. Yeah, we feel that way sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we think, where's God? When I need him, he's not there. I don't know where he's gone today. I never feel that way. Well, maybe you're more spiritual than me. But there are times when we just wonder, where is God? And Lord, there's an emergency on here, and I can't see where God is. I could imagine how the Zeus may have felt that way. This little baby's born. He's got every problem in the book and then some they haven't thought of. And is he going to live? Is he going to die? I can imagine how they could think, where's God? Lord, where are you? Now we've got an emergency. Where are you? Well, God's where he's always been. Right with them. You see, as a child of God, the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, yea, even unto the end of the world. But sometimes we live our lives, or our responses are, as though God's just said, bye-bye, I'll be back sometime, I won't tell you when. We've got to understand something, that God is always with us. And that can be a comfort, and it can be a bit scary thought, if we're not living as we ought to. But God is always with us. He doesn't go on vacation. Even while we sleep, the Bible says he never sleeps or slumbers. God's always watching over us and keeping us. The children of Israel are to walk 6 times in 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day. And God is with them all the way. God gives them the plan. He says, now I'll be with you to help you to carry out that plan. Isn't that a blessing? When God gives us a plan, he's also with us and gives us the grace to do what he wants. If he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church, he says, now, by the way, I'm with you and I'll give you the grace to do it. If he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, he's with us and he'll give us the grace to do it. If he says be in church on Sunday, then he'll be with us and give us the grace to do it. Whatever it is, he asks us to do it. He doesn't just ask us to do it and then stand back and say, he's with us. And his grace is sufficient for every situation. And so the children of Israel, they start their journeys and they go around once, one day. That's it for the day. They go around once the next day. That's it for the day. They do that 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Bible tells us, verse 15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. The city shall be accursed. He says, by the way, don't take anything out of the city other than that which God says to be set aside for himself. Don't touch anything else except you become accursed. Simple instructions. Easy to understand. So the people shouted, verse 20, when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Guess what? The plan worked. Isn't it interesting how God's plans always work out, okay? When we follow what God tells us to do, surprise, surprise, it turns out okay. Whatever the Jericho is, whatever it is in our lives that seems an obstacle, if we'll just follow the simple principles of God's word, we'll find that he is with us. We maybe not always sense that, but we'll find that he is with us and that his grace is sufficient in Christ, and that we are able to get out the other side and we say, my, that was something. I wouldn't want to go through that again. I mean, I've had people say to me, oh, I wouldn't want to go through that again. But oh my, the sense of God's presence sometimes in real tragedies. The sense of God's presence. Lo, I'm with you always. Other times we don't have that sense of God's presence, but he's still there. And as we follow the simple principles and teachings of the scriptures, always we'll be able to come out the other side and say, praise the Lord. Praise God, his grace has proven to be sufficient. We need to live, as I said right at the start, 2 things. Number one, I wanted to turn it around from what I said at the start. We need to live 1 day at a time. Just live today, today. Don't live in the past. Oh, but there's some terrible things happened in the past. No doubt. Most people could tell you the same thing. I could tell you some stories about some people's past you would not even believe. But they can't live there. By the grace of God, they have to deal with it. That's true. But they can't live there. We can't live in the past. It wasn't enough to do 1 day around and then the next day not walk and say, we did it yesterday, so that ought to be enough. I can't rely or live in the past. God says, no, I want you each day to do it. A daily walk with God. Each day walking with God. Each day reading the scriptures. Well, I read the Bible last week. How many more times do you want me to read it? Every day. Well, I don't think what you like. Every day. Well, I just, you see, we think we're like Naaman, who thought that the man of God would come out and just heal him in some magical way. And the man of God said, go down to the River Jordan and dip yourself in 7 times and you'll come out clean. And Naaman was wroth, the Bible says, because he thought something different had happened. And sometimes we get mad with God because we thought that God would do it in some different way or at some different time or in some different situation. We get mad with God instead of coming back to the simplicity of what God says. Just do it. I could list off people, names after names of people I know who are not in church today. Not in any church today. And their lives are a mess. And some of them are probably sitting there going, I wonder how we got in this mess. And one of the reasons is they decided one day, we don't need to go to church anymore. And that could be for all sorts of reasons. Could be because the pastor's upset them. Could be because someone in the church has upset them. I mean, people have got a million excuses why they're not in church. And usually they don't tell you the real one anyway. They just kind of tell you. You know, I've had people tell me all sorts of stories and I think, yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. What's the truth though? Can you tell me what the truth really is? Well, I wouldn't want to upset you. Well, you've already upset me. Just keep upsetting me. You know, tell me. No, we can't tell you. You know, well, don't tell me. I don't care. Well, I do care, but, you know. But they wonder why their life's a mess. Because they haven't followed the simple principles and teachings of the scriptures. You see, I think the Bible's hard to understand. The only reason it becomes hard to understand is because we won't be obedient to what God tells us to do. Because then it gets all clouded. God said, if any man will do his will, he shall know. So it's not the difficulty in understanding or finding God's will, it's the willingness to do it. And the simple things in the scriptures, walk around just once for 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day, daily. Again, I want to encourage you and just don't try and live in the future. Yeah, but what if that happened? What if I were to have a stroke? What would I do? I got no idea what you'd do. What if I were to die? Well, that's an important question. What if you were to die? Would you go to be with the Lord? Because the Bible says if we're saved, that's from the body present with the Lord. So I'm not sure what would happen. You need to settle that real fast. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow brings. If you're not sure you're saved, you better make sure you're saved before you do anything else. But if you're saved, so, well, what if I, you know, what if, well, there's a lot of what ifs. You know how much grace God gives you to worry about those what ifs? No. He doesn't give you any grace to worry about what's going to happen in the future. Be careful for nothing, Paul said, Philippians 4:6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not sure whether we're going to make it financially. I'm not sure whether we're going to make it health-wise. I'm not sure, neither am I. I don't know either. But God's not giving me grace to worry about all that. Well, I know what's happening. My family's got this and that. God doesn't give us grace to worry about what's going to happen down there. He gives us grace for today. Sufficient for today is the evil thereof, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6. In the context of, take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall wear, what shall eat. Take no thought for tomorrow. He says it a number of times in Matthew 6, and he says at the bottom, take no thought again. Why? For sufficient for today is the evil thereof. God says, you've got all you can handle on your plate right now, and my grace will be sufficient for you today. Not to carry yesterday's burdens through and live yesterday, not to live tomorrow, but today. Grace for today is mine always. And so we're to be careful for nothing but to be living today. I want to just stress that again in Exodus chapter 16. This thought about today, sufficient for today is the evil thereof. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. Maybe just go back a little bit before that. God has given them some quail. And then on verse 14, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So they've been complaining and murmuring, which was their normal situation. And God graciously gave them some meat. And then he gave them what's called manna. This kind of little round stuff there on the ground. And Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord has given you. Now this is what the Lord Jesus made reference to later on in his ministry. He said, I am the bread, the true bread that's come down from heaven. He said, you had bread given to you in the wilderness. He said, I am the true bread. You need to feed on me. How often did they feed on this manna? And might help us to understand how often we need to fellowship with the Lord. This is a thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take every man for them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses. Here we go. God speaking through Moses said, now look, when you get the bread, get what you need. If you've got five people in the house, get enough for five. If you've got two, get enough for two. If you've got ten, get enough for ten. How much you need, just get it, and then eat it all. So don't leave any, just eat it all. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and guess what? It bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Now Moses said, listen, you're a thick bones. No wonder he got tired and said, you are a stiff-necked people. God said, go out, get enough for everybody in the family, take what you need, whatever you think you need, take it, but then make sure you eat it all. Don't leave any till tomorrow. Now some maybe, you know, they took some and thought, well, you know, what if it doesn't turn up tomorrow? Oh, that'd be a problem. Maybe we'll just keep a little bit over and then at least we'll have enough for breakfast tomorrow, even if there's no more. And guess what? When they get up there in the morning, they find out that that bit they had left over, which they were saving for whatever reason, had worms in it, and it stank. The Bible says it was not good. They gathered it every morning, verse 21, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers to one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade it, and did not stink, neither were any worms therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath in it, there shall be none. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? It's like walking around the wall of Jericho. It's very simple. God says, there's going to be manna there. It's going to be outside there. You're going to pick it up. And take enough for the day. As much as you need. You know, don't be stingy about it. Take what you need. But when you've got what you need, just eat it. And tomorrow there'll be some fresh stuff there. And the next day there'll be fresh stuff. And the next day, and the next day. It's going to be fresh all the time. And then on the sixth day, though, I want you to take a double measure. Because the Sabbath is a day of rest. And I want you to take a rest on that day. And I want you just to relax and enjoy it. And take double on the sixth. Because on the seventh day, something different's going to happen. Which hasn't happened if you'd taken extra on the other days. If you took extra on the other days, it was going to have worms and stink. But on the Sabbath day, I want you to rest. So I'm going to give you a double measure, and I'm going to do something a little different with the manna this time. It's not going to stink, and it's not going to get worms. You'll have enough for the seventh day. You won't have to go out and collect it. That's all simple, isn't it? You'd think that's pretty simple. But I could preach a whole lot of things out of that. Just that the thoughts that come into my mind about this. Daily. Get bread daily. What did the Lord Jesus say when he said, they asked him, how, you know, teach us to pray. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, here, pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God says, I want you to come to me daily regarding your daily needs. It's a daily business. It's like walk around the wall daily, do it. It's like getting the manna daily. I want you to do it daily. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread which came from heaven. He said, I want you to feed on me. How often? Daily. As you feed on the manna daily. He said, I will take care of it. And it'll be fresh. And it'll be vital. And it'll be a living relationship that you can have with me. But I want you to do it daily. Do it daily. And don't worry about keeping some from the past because it'll stink and have worms. And just don't try and build up for the future. It's not going to happen. Live today. Give us this day our daily bread. Live today. But I got all these cares and burdens. Cast them on the Lord and live today. The grace that get today will be sufficient for today, sufficient for the day's evil thereof. But you will not be able to carry all the burdens from the past into today and expect to sit there praising God and rejoicing in the Lord, because the burdens will weigh you down. You have to do what the Lord says, casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. When you do that and say, Lord, I'm going to live today. I've got these problems, but I'm going to live today. Lord, I've got these things that look like they're coming up and they could be real bad. Let me tell you, most of them will never happen. I've read enough stories of people who've kept lists and wrote down. I remember reading one person, every time they had something they worried about, they wrote on a list. And so I got to look at that later and see what happens. And they'd get to the end of the week and check the list and found out that almost without exception, none of those things ever happened that they worried about. Now, they could have done what most people do and sit there and worry about them all through the week, and they get to the end of the week, it didn't happen anyway, it was a waste of worry, they haven't enjoyed their life, they've been stressed out, and the whole thing's been a disaster. And so live for today. Strength for today is mine always. Grace sufficient for today. Walk around Jericho today. Well, I've got this problem. Well, pray about it. But don't pull it into the day and try and battle through by yourself. God's grace is sufficient for today. But what about tomorrow? Wait for the fresh manna tomorrow. Commune with the Lord tomorrow. He may have some fresh instructions for you. After 6 days, I got some fresh instruction. On the sixth day, I want you to get a double issue. Oh, really? And now what about that? On the seventh day, I want you to rest. I want you to have a day of rest. You know, a lot of people's lives come unglued because they don't do the simple principle of having a day of rest. Look at our society today. We got shops open 7 days a week. They're just extending the hours now till 10 o'clock at night. They're opening at 6 or 6.30, whatever. It won't be long. It'll be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And society will come unglued even more than it is, because everybody's out working. Mum's out working. Dad's out working. They're all working all hours, the night and day, trying to pay the bills and everything else. And they're coming unstuck as fast as it can happen. And they're saying, what's going on? And God said, here's a simple thing that'll help. Set one day aside and have a rest. So what should I do on that day? Not forsake the assembling yourselves together. Be in fellowship with God's people. Be encouraged through the word of God. Be encouraged with fellowship with God's people. Share some burdens with one another, the Bible says. And pray for one another. Get a day of rest. Yeah, and we've said before how Voltaire and others in France were infidels and unbelievers, and they tried to wipe out Christianity. And they even went to the point where they wouldn't rest their horses for 10 days. They said, we're going to get rid of this Christian Sabbath this Sunday. We want God out of the system in every way possible. And they found that their horses started breaking down and they couldn't work it out what was going on. And then they got back to having their normal 6 days work and resting on the seventh, and they found the horses were better. You say, what was happening? They were living according, and they had to live according to a biblical principle, even though they wanted to deny God. But it's simple. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Work 6 days. Rest on the seventh. Now, you say, well, what happens if your car breaks down? You've got to walk home? No, you're allowed to fix it. There's deeds of mercy. If your ox falls in the ditch, then pull it out. Don't leave it there all day. You know, get it out. That's okay. Someone's sick and they need to get to the hospital. They're going to bleed to death. Get them there. So, you're just going to have to bleed to death today because, you know, today's Sunday and we just don't do anything on Sunday. I mean, it's a rest day. No. Let's keep it where the Lord Jesus kept it. When the disciples were criticized for rubbing some corn and eating it, and they said, oh, look at that work you're doing on the Sabbath day. He said, that's quite lawful. Have you not read what David did with his men? It's quite okay. The men weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for men. God's given us a day of rest. He hasn't done it the other way around so that we know. He says we are to have a day of rest. Simple things. But just daily. Daily collect manna from God. Daily feed on that heavenly bread. Daily do it. And we don't have to do, and here's where it's good, we don't have to get a double issue on Saturday and do nothing on Sunday. God says, you know, collect some every day, 7 days of the week. Manna from heaven. Sunday will be a little different because you'll be with God's people. And so in that sense, the manna will be a little different because you won't be just sitting at home with your Bible with the Lord. But now you'll be able to get with God's people and get some great encouragement and blessing and so forth. But just do it. Simple things. Just do it, but do it daily. Do it daily. Don't carry the past on your shoulders. Don't carry the future on your shoulders. Commit those things to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Sufficient for today. And then all that is what we've said. We need to live by faith. How can you do that? By faith. How did the walls of Jericho come down? The Bible says by faith. By faith the walls of Jericho came down. Hebrews 11. How'd they come down? By faith. So what do you mean by that? By trusting what God said would happen. God says walk around every day for 6 days, and there's 7 days and the seventh. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Now before you believe it, it's still going to happen. But God says do it. And so by faith I say, okay, if God says that, if God says be in church on Sunday, then I'm going to be there. You say, but I don't always feel like it. He didn't say if you feel like it. He didn't say if you feel like it, walk around the wall tomorrow. He said, just do it. And then the next day, do it again. Well, I got a bit tired the first day. I'm going to have a couple of days off because it got a bit much for me. It's amazing. People come to a service and you see them afterwards and say, man, it was so great. It was just a blessing. Then you don't see them ever again. So, well, what happened there? Bread went off. Started to stink. I don't know what happened, but just amazing. But others, oh, well, I would have come. I could take some now. And they'd say, well, I meant to be there, but, I just woke up feeling a bit tired. And I just felt a bit off, and I thought it'd be best if I stayed home today. You say, you're not very compassionate upon those people. No, not at all. If they got a doctor's certificate saying they would have died if they hadn't come, or if they had have come, then that's okay. But then they wonder, they'll ring me up during the week and say, I got this problem, Pastor, I got that problem, can you help me? Sure, okay, I'll help you, what do you want? I feel like saying, I can't drop off the end of the world, No, not really. Not really, I don't feel that way at all. But I think, hello, you're not doing the simple things that God wants you to do and you wonder why your life's falling apart. Hello, anybody home? Lights on, nobody's answering, Live today, live it by faith. God says to do certain things, then I do them. So, but how do you know? By faith. How do you know those walls will come down? Because God said they would. Now we're clever with hindsight because we read the whole story. How do you know you'll have peace? God says you'll have it. If you're not anxious about things. But I just can't help it. I'm one of those worriers. Well, tell God that. God, I'm a worrier. I'm a worrier, but you said be worrying about nothing. Oh, it's a Jericho for me. How am I ever going to get those walls down? By faith. By the grace of God. Lord, I'm a worrier. Please help me not to be a worrier. Lord, please help me just to trust you. You've said you'll be with me. Lord, that ark went round with them. You're with them, Lord, all the time. And then the ark stayed where? In the camp with them. And I was with them how long? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah? That's how often God's with us. May the Lord help us to live by faith, in obedience to what he tells us. And may God help us to live just one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and bless you for this time together. And we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the principles that we find there, Lord, for the truths there. We're thankful, Lord, that you do give us sufficient grace and mercy and whatever else we need for each day. Lord, as the manna was sufficient daily. Lord, as they walked around daily, it was sufficient that they did what you asked them to do. Lord, so it is with us, Lord. It's sufficient for us if we do today what you ask us to do. And Lord, you will meet those needs that we have today as you promised to do. And how we thank you for that and we praise you for that. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we might just afresh this morning, Lord, understand a little bit more about what it is to live by faith, to live trusting you, trusting your word, trusting your promises, knowing that you're with us. And then, Lord, to live each day as it comes. Lord, not to try and bring things in the future to pass today. Lord, let those things take care of themselves. Just to trust you today. Lord, not to live in the past, but by your grace, Lord, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, that we might live today, today, by your grace and with your aiding and your help. And so, Lord, I do thank you for this time again. And Father, maybe there's some this morning who would say to you, Lord, that you'd have to forgive me. I've been anxious. I've been worried. And I haven't really been living today trusting you as I ought to. I haven't been just feeding on the manna that you've provided for the day. I've been carrying some over from the day before and it's beginning to stink and it's got worms. And Lord, it's a problem. And Lord, that you would forgive me. Help me, Lord, just to live today. Maybe someone else would say, boy, I got that many things coming up in the future, you wouldn't believe it. But God knows, God knows. And you need just to live today. Just to live today by faith, trusting God for your daily needs, daily bread, all those things. Trusting him for his grace. And then when tomorrow comes, you live tomorrow the same way. And you maybe need to say, Lord, please help me just to live today by faith. According to the grace that you give. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, maybe the Lord's spoken to you about something and you need just to acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, I haven't been living by faith as I ought to. I haven't trusted you perhaps in certain ways as I ought to, but this morning, Lord, I would acknowledge that. And Lord, could you just help me to live by faith, live today, Lord, just today. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. Thank you for the heavenly manna you provide to meet every need. You say, Pastor, could you pray for me? God's just touched my heart about something that I need to deal with that. And I pray just that the Lord would help me and that you might pray for me, that God would give me that grace that I might just live today, today. Anybody at all, just as we close out the service, you say, Pastor, could you pray for me? Yes, I see your hands, yes. Yes, I see your hand, Lord bless you. Lord, just help me to just trust you today for grace, for that heavenly manna that will carry me through today, Lord, that I'll have your peace that passes understanding. And Father, for those who've raised their hand, Lord, I pray that you would now work out, Lord, as only you can do, by your grace, that work which would cause them to know the reality of living today, today. Not yesterday and not tomorrow, but today. Lord, show them your grace, show them yourself, Lord, in a way that they would trust you, Lord, and look to you, Lord, to meet just the daily needs. Father, each one of us might experience that in our lives, and Lord, in so doing, we might get to that place where those walls of Jericho would come down, and Lord, we might see you do great and mighty things. And we just give you thanks and praise now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.